Now go to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read 9 verses of chapter 12 of Romans. This being the word of God, let us hear it and receive it well into our lives. Beginning Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorts on exhortation. He that gives, let him do it with simplicity. He that rules, with diligence. He that shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. May the Lord's good counsel be driven deep, deep into our lives. Heavenly Lord Jesus, hear us when we say these things and pray these things, for we come in your name before you now. Bless thy word to us. We ask in your name this. Amen. Well, for about 11 chapters, maybe a little less, Paul, in this epistle, was emphasizing that God was not pleased with us because of all the sin and sins we commit on a regular basis. He was emphasizing over, especially in the first 3, even 5 chapters of this epistle, that the only chance we have of getting anywhere in the afterlife is hell. That's where we all belong. And he made it crystal clear. Because of all the works, not only the words, bad enough, not only the thoughts, that's bad too, but the works as well that we have done in any given day have made a mess of our lives. And if he were to enter into judgment against us, who could stand? Who would stand? Only to point out, to come to later on in the epistle, in those chapters, that we must be saved in another way, other than good works. For by the works of the law, and that's the law according to Moses, the law written in the Old Testament, the entire Old Testament really, works according to that, shall no man, woman, boy, or girl be justified. in the sight of God. He goes to prove that, right? He quotes from the Psalms in chapter 3, for example, that that none are righteous, no, not one. That our throats are open sepulchres, full of death and destruction and terror. We're all terrorists before God. You may not think of yourself that way, but God does. And Paul puts that out again and again in the early chapters. Only to come to the truth that we must be saved in another way, other than our good works. For by the works of the law shall no man be justified, but by grace, by faith, through faith, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Only chance we have. If there is another life after this one, and we all know there is no hope of advancement in that life except advancement to punishment apart from the grace of God that's in Jesus Christ. You're not going to get there because you're a good guy or a good gal. You know that. I'm preaching to the choir, right? As they say. But now, all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, but Paul comes to this in chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will. And then he goes on to talk about what we are not to do and what we are to do. And even before that, he did in chapter 11. Well, if no one is justified in the sight of God by his or her good works, that we are justified by grace alone through faith alone, then what's this emphasis on presenting our members, yielding, same word, yielding our members, submitting our bodies as living sacrifices to the Lord. That doesn't that involve work? Works? Good stuff? So I want to talk about that called, he calls it our reasonable service or reasonable service. And how, in the second place, coming after that reasonable service, coming to expressing ourselves or arising out of his mercies, he says here, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, so that reasonable service comes from the mercies of God. And then it goes and expresses itself, that reasonable service that comes from the mercy of God, in thankfulness. It comes out and expresses itself in thankfulness. And finally, in the fourth place, in our reasonable service, we become living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. So those are the four things I want to bring up, bring out this morning as clearly as the Spirit allows me to do, as quickly as well. Well, what is this reasonable service? You mean there's unreasonable service? Yes, there's unreasonable service, but we're talking about reasonable service. That expresses itself in thankfulness as living sacrifice. What was the reasonable service in the Old Testament? What do you think it was? Well, certainly a big part of it was to have the priest come before the into the tabernacle, later into the temple, and offer up the sacrifices and do all that ritual before the Lord. You know, that was certainly a service. That took a lot of time and effort, right? It wasn't easy to do that. And that was certainly a reasonable service because the Lord had instructed them to do that and to do it well. Well, that's all changed, right? Because there are no more blood sacrifices to make in the New Testament day and age. In our day and age, there aren't any blood sacrifices. So what is our reasonable service? Gratitude. Right? Thankfulness. Isn't that a reasonable service? Why you come here? Did you come here with an attitude? Hopefully it's an attitude of thankfulness and gratitude and gratefulness that God has given me another day, and he's given me the Lord's day in which to worship and be glad in. Rejoice and be glad. I know you have problems. I have them too. Perhaps not as severe as your problem, but I'm happy. I'm happy to be here. Aren't you? That's reasonable service. It's unreasonable to be unthankful, to lack gratitude, to be on fire with anger or disappointment or some sort of rage or whatever. Now, I know there's some people that have to take medication because of chemical imbalances and they get depressed and sad. I don't understand that because I don't experience that. I don't get depressed, but I know some people do, and I think it's very real to them. And they can't just pull themselves out of that that sadness. But that's not most of us. That's not most of us. So our reasonable service has to be devotion to God. Joy in the Holy Spirit. Thankfulness to him. God would have us perform this, to actually display this before him. Once we realize that we're saved not by our good works, because there aren't good works in his sight apart from grace, then he wants us to express ourselves, to perform this reasonable service, this good work, this devotion before him. Now, there's two things that we have to watch out for, as others have pointed out in their comments, in their articles and commentaries and things like that, at least in the stuff that I read. There are at least two things. The one is the temptation to think that when we are being blessed in our lives, when things are going well for us, that it's because of all the good things, the obedience to God's word, to God's revealed word. It's because I have been an obedient son or daughter or child that God is blessing my life. I don't know how many times I've heard adults who should know better say, God is blessing my life because I have done this or done that. That's a real pitfall, brothers and sisters. I know you're tempted to think that. And God, on the other hand, God is cursing my life and making it bad for me and challenging me and making me sad and making me droopy because I don't have good works to show. You are thinking wrongly. You understand, right? I know you've thought those things. Oh, God's blessing me because it's going well, because I've been obedient. Or God is cursing me because it's not going so well. I don't feel so good. Not a good thought. Listen to what he says. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies, living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So the first thing I have to note about reasonable service, about the kind of service that God wants me, is that I must realize that it comes from the mercies of God. That it's because of God's mercy, because of God's salvation, because of God's grace, because of God's Spirit living in me, residing in me, motivating me to work out my salvation with much fear and trembling, knowing all along, all the while, through thick and thin, that God has made me willing in the day of his power. It's because of the mercies of God that have been communicated to me by his Spirit. He's regenerated my heart. He's opened my mind to heaven's truths, to heaven's glory. He's revealed himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to me. He's made me his covenant child, part of his family. And that's according to his mercy. What's God's mercy? It's his tender love towards us to relieve us, to deliver us from the misery that we have found ourselves in. This sin and this misery, and it's just going to get worse after this life. It's just going to get horribly worse. There's nothing to look forward to at death and beyond. But the mercy of God has come along and said, you don't have to worry about that, Peter. I've taken care of everything through my son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to save you. He shed his blood, not for everyone. He shed it for you. Now that is what the mercies of God, all those mercies that accumulate as we go through the scriptures and read about how Jesus instructed us and teaches us and brings us around to his way, regenerates us, gives us grace so that we believe in him, so that we repent of our sin. He sanctified, you know, all those mercies, right? Graces to deliver us from this sin. It's deep, deep. And it's many. Therefore, when someone comes along, whether it's a Roman Catholic church or evangelical churches or it's liberals or whatever it may be, to emphasize that we must do good works in order to secure our salvation, in order to gain confidence in ourselves that we are saved and safe and en route to heaven, we must emphasize that that's not what's being taught here in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It's by the, he is beseeching, he is urging, he is pleading, brothers and sisters, I'm pleading you by the mercies of God, who has saved you according to his mercy in Jesus Christ, to do these things. Don't do it the other way. Don't think the other way, that it's because I'm good or I'm doing these good things or because I'm being obedient and going along and raising my children according to the commandments of God that God's mercy will be upon me. It's the other way. That's reverse thinking. That is upside down thinking. It's incorrect. It's because of His mercy that I'm obedient. It's not because of my obedience I get mercy. Mercy comes first. Salvation comes first. And then out of that salvation comes the response of obedience and joy and gratitude and thankfulness. So that's here. And it's explicit. It really is explicit. It's not just implicit, it's explicit. I beseech you, I plead with you, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I plead by the mercy of God that you present. That's before it all. The mercy of God. Look, brothers, he's calling them brothers. He's not talking to the world. Remember, the Bible was written, I'm going to talk a little bit about this tonight. The Bible was written for Christians, for believers. It wasn't written for the world. It wasn't written so that we go around evangelizing everyone. It was written for Christians. It's their holy book. It's their counsel. It's their guide. It's their light. It's their strength. It's their encouragement. It's their happiness, their gratitude, their thankfulness. This is not for the world, although those are in the world who are His, we have to bring it to them. So we do evangelize. The Great Commission is the commandment. But it's for us to do, Christians, among many other things. And so, by the mercies of God, I'm to express myself in thanksgiving and gratitude. Now, you realize that an unbeliever can't do that, right? An unbeliever is unthankful and not grateful every single moment of every single day, of every single week, of every single month, year, decade, and of his life. Can you imagine being unthankful every single moment of every single day of your life for 10, 20, 50, 80 years? How much sin that is? How ungrateful? Can you imagine it's a mountain. It's a high mountain. Who could climb it? How old are you? 5 years old? 10 years old? Your old man, your old nature has been unthankful and ungrateful towards God as however long you've been living. You know, like slapping God in the face every day. Get away from me. I don't care. But thanks be to God in Jesus Christ, He's given us a new nature, right? He's renewed us within. So yeah, there's a war, there's a tension, but the new nature, the new man, overcomes the old man, right? Sin no longer has dominion over us. Definitive sanctification, not just progressive, definitive sanctification. The old man no longer has dominion. Sin no longer has dominion. Romans chapter 6. It's gone. It's over, like justification. It's over. It's called definitive sanctification. So now I no longer live. Christ lives in me and with me and through me. By the mercy. According to mercy. I don't deserve it. But according to his mercy, he's given it to me because he loved me from before the foundation of the world, but revealed in time himself to me by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was saved that way. I don't know how you were saved. I was saved that way. By the preaching of the gospel, I went to church one day. I didn't know the minister. He didn't know me. But boy, did God arrest me in that pew that day. Just broke my heart. I know what it's like to be saved by the mercy of God through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ from personal experience. It's not everyone's experience. It doesn't have to be everyone's experience. But I'm telling you the truth, if you're saved, and if you're doing well, it's by the mercy of God. And expressing yourself with thankfulness, yielding your... What did Paul say earlier on in his epistle? In this epistle, he said, "Neither yield ye members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Romans 6, verse 13. The word yield is the same word here as present. You yield. Right? You submit. You present yourself now before God as instruments of righteousness rather than instruments. What does that mean, instruments? Body parts. That's what Paul is talking about in this epistle when he's talking about instruments onto unrighteousness and instruments onto righteousness. Talk about your body parts. Not just your brain, not just your mind, not just your soul. He's talking about your hands and your feet, your legs, everything. Don't yield it to the world. Yield it unto God. Present yourselves. So in other words, God doesn't just want you to think about this. He just doesn't want you to come to church and know about this and learn about this and take notes about this. Nor does he want you just to speak about this and to declare it to others. He wants you to act like it. He wants you to live it. Your bodies. He says it right here in no uncertain terms when he says, present your bodies. Living sacrifice. Everything about you. Not just your mind, not just your soul, but your bodies as well. And you know what that means, brothers and sisters, because there's an awful lot of people that say the name of Christ, that present their bodies, that allow their bodies to be used in unrighteous ways. Fornication is just one among many, many sins that the young and the old participate in. They don't just think about it, do they? They do it. Going off and watching those things on the internet or on television or something like that, exposing your mind. But you have to do it. You know, got to type in that, on that keyboard, that URL. You know, you have to turn on that channel and that station. You have to pick up that magazine or whatever it might be. Yielding yourself as an instrument of unrighteousness. And what is that? That's thanklessness. That's thanklessness to God. Brothers and sisters, we have to think every day, every way, whatever we're in, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, how do I express my gratitude to God for the mercy that he has shown me in Jesus Christ? How am I showing thankfulness to God? Remember, you know, a basic thing, food and drink. What are we supposed to do before we eat and drink? You've seen these people on television, they have this large meals set up, this table with all the trimmings and everything, and they just sit and they go to restaurants and all that stuff, and I go to restaurants sometimes and I see, they just dig in. Once they get the food, they just dig in. Wait a minute. I feel like, you know, standing on the table and saying, I haven't done it. Well, I used to, but I don't do it anymore. You stand up and you say, before you eat, thank the Lord. Right? Thank the Lord. I did that. And, you know, people look at you. But, you know, sometimes it communicates. Try it. Stand up. Before we eat, all of us, let's take 5 seconds to thank the Lord. I'll even pray for you. Some people actually stop. You may not be want to do that, but I'm just saying that we're supposed to thank the Lord even before we eat. Certainly we should thank the Lord and be grateful to Him, whatever we're going to do. So when we turn on the television or the radio or the music, listen to the music or whatever we're doing, go to work. You know, have our coffee in the morning before we go to work, before we come to church. I mean, just thank Him for whatever it is. I'm just not doing it, but before now I've been doing it lately every morning. I like coffee. I don't know about you, I like coffee. And before, it's just so good, you know, the first thing in the morning, after you clean up a little bit, to have a nice cup of warm coffee. But before I do that, I say, Lord, it's simple. Thank you. Thank you for this delight. And then that's it. It's all. Just a suggestion, not a command. Just a suggestion. To be thankful to the Lord is to basically seek His glory. To truly be thankful to the Lord is to become a living sacrifice. In order to become a sacrifice in your life, to in thankfulness, your motivation is thankfulness based on the mercies of God that you found in Jesus Christ, and to present your body a living sacrifice. That's all of yourself, every detail of your life, a sacrifice to God. You, in order to do that well, brothers and sisters, in order to be thankful well, in order to be to go according to this prescription here, that's in Romans chapter 12, you must seek, bottom line, you must seek the glory of God. If you do what you do, whatever it might be, in thought, word, or deed, if you're saying or thinking or doing what you do to get some recognition, to get something for it, other than the glory of God, you've sinned. You've sinned. And if you're really doing it to get some of the glory, some of the attention, you haven't done a good work. It's not a good work before God. It may be a good work to you, it may be a good work to the person that's receiving it. It's not a good work to God. If you're seeking the glory, you must, in every detail of your life, in thankfulness and gratitude, presenting your body, your members, every part of you as a living sacrifice, you must be seeking the glory of God first and foremost. Now, sin creeps in. Every one of us said all our good works are marred. That's why we're saved by grace. But that's what it means to offer up reasonable service, our reasonable service to God. That's what it means. To be thankful and grateful to God, to offer our bodies as living sacrifice. We must seek in every detail of our lives, first and foremost, the glory of God, His honor, His pleasure, not our own. He comes first. Are you able to do that? Are you willing to do that? Brothers and sisters, I encourage you, by the mercy of God, by the grace that is in Jesus Christ, to do it His way. To do whatever it is you do it, His way, not your way. Live, love your reasonable service. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord, may we be found doing that. Yes, we're imperfect. All of us are. All of us need a boost. All of us need to be confronted. All of us need, Lord, your help. We pray, by the mercies that are found in Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, that you would deliver us more and more over to righteousness. rather than unrighteousness. And by your grace, we'll get to heaven through faith in Jesus Christ. We are thankful for all of this, Lord. All your counsel, all your advice, all your word, all your good work towards us, in us, and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's